And we are sitting in the Santa Fe Playhouse, where tonight the Santa Fe Fiesta Melodrama 2014 opens. We are here with Andy Prim, who's the director of this year's melodrama, Anthony Berzac, who is the hero, Samuel L. Jackson, and Scott Shuker, who is the villain, Namaste Ne'er-do-well. Welcome, everybody, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great to be here. The excitement is palpable, and I feel like we're Monday Night Football because we have our headsets on and we're calling the show. Like, the show is about to start, ladies and gentlemen. And
it's
you
kind
can
of
feel
exciting
the excitement.
To do
it
here.
Yeah.
It is.
We're here.
The excitement is palpable, and the Fiesta of Melodrama is a long-standing tradition here in Santa Fe. You just found some. In fact, somebody was showing me these little. Archives that show that the melodrama goes back almost 100 years?
Yes, in the secret crypt under the playhouse. I mean, in the special file cabinet in the playhouse that we have where we keep these things, we just discovered records that seem to go back into the 1920s and even into the 19-teens of evidence of possibly melodramas happening in Santa Fe.
And as the years go by, they keep on happening and have some of the funny names. Like this year's melodrama is also known as Game of Groans, Last Train to Artsville, Zozobra for Dummies, etc., etc. There's lots of subtitles for it. Now, this year, I guess every year, what you're doing is making fun of all kinds of Santa Fe characters, all kinds of New Mexico characters and places and people, including the governor, who doesn't come out looking all that great, I guess one might say.
I think he looks great. I think he looks fantastic. Well,
actually, I think that's one of the ways that we did accidentally stick to reality, is that the governor doesn't.
There's a governor in every melodrama that I've ever seen or been in. There's always a governor present.
Yeah, and I think that.
And not to mention mayors and.
And other elected officials.
And I think that you hit the nails on the head, that the Santa Fe melodrama is really this satire that's for locals. You know, something we spoke about earlier was, well, if you're a tourist, will you get it? And I think that tourists can get their crash course in Santa Fe, you know, when they come to the melodrama, because there are all these inside jokes that we love so much.
Yeah, if you move here. And if you just recently moved here, go to the melodrama.
Yeah, and if you've lived here forever, come complain with us.
And if it's your first time at the moving to Santa Fe, and then you learn about it through the melodrama, you may be encouraged to move away.
Really? Oh. If you're curious about the service at Pronzo, come check out the melodrama, see what we have to say.
And then we never lie.
We never lie.
No, satire is always truthful in its way.
In its own way. Yes.
Now, this is a question that I'm pretty sure I'm not allowed to ask, but who writes the melodrama?
Mm. Well, you're allowed to ask, but we are not allowed to answer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Secret committee.
Yeah. You know, I think that what's really exciting about satire is an anonymous satire means that we can really go outside our comfort levels, you know, go outside our boundaries with what we feel like we complain about. And although there's this anonymous group, something else that should be said is that as we're rehearsing, we're constantly adding one-liners and one-bits of complaints or things we love about Santa Fe and that kind of thing. And so it's a real reason that it's anonymous, because let's say I've contributed one line to the play, or let's say I've written a whole scene to a play, it means just as much. And also, nobody wants to be recognized. You know, there's that whole legal dilemma or something that Andy was talking about.
Retribution. It's more like retribution.
Yeah,
right.
And it's also saving face in case the jokes are really bad.
Oh.
Yeah, there is always that. I mean, I have to say, I went to the rehearsal, and it is quite funny. I mean, it's really fun to watch. And as I was watching the rehearsal, I realized that, I mean, I thought, what's going on with the comic timing here? You know, there's these gaps. And then I realized this is an audience participatory thing, and you're leaving room for the audience.
Yeah. And it's a really important part of the tradition of melodrama. I'm pretty sure, you know, drama majors and English majors can check me on this, but I think even, you know, back in the original Shakespeare theater, it was a long play. It was 4 hours, and people would kind of yell from the audience. I mean, it's a long tradition of that kind of thing in theater, and melodrama especially encourages that. The audience is a member of the production, and I love so many things about melodrama. The more I get into it, the more I love the sort of the aesthetic of it, and then it's sort of this weird platonic form, because when you make any theatrical work, the audience is a part of it, but there's that fourth wall, you know, there's something else, but you are considering, as a playwright, I'm pretty sure most playwrights anyways, unless you don't care what an audience thinks, and then I don't know what kind of, it's a different kind of
what
art.
What you're doing, yes.
I'm off on a tangent, but the fact is...
You don't care what the audience thinks.
That, if you're the kind of a playwright that cares what an audience thinks, you are going to write with them in mind. And in melodrama, you get to hear what they think right out loud.
And people are very much encouraged to, I mean, at the beginning of the play, they're encouraged to, in fact, instructed what to say when the hero comes. Now you, Anthony, are playing the hero, and what do people say when you come on stage?
Right. Well, what I love about the audience participation is that, you know, they cheer for me.
Yay.
Yay, exactly, right? And so there's that comic timing right there where I'm going to pause for you to cheer for me because I'm just so used to the way that the melodrama works. And it's we pause for these jokes. And what I think is really special about this year's melodrama as opposed to other melodramas is that we know that the audience wants to participate. So we created two extra characters, the Waldorf and Statler characters, the guys who are like the Muppet old men complaining about the show on the sidelines, because we want the audience to feel comfortable yelling at the audience as much as we yell at ourselves, or yelling at the participants as much as we yell at our own participants. You know, it felt a lot like boot camp or something when we were rehearsing for this play, because we'd constantly be heckling each other as we were trying to put on the scenes to get each other used to the audience participation.
And one of them is, I'm not sure the other one is, but one of them is Stephen Rubin, who has been on this show many times and who's very active in the theater and film community here in Santa Fe.
Absolutely, yeah. He has his own Jules Works Follies that happens at the Jean Cocteau Theater.
Which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you, Scott, are the villain.
I most certainly am.
Namaste, ne'er-do-well. And that's a great character, and you play a great villain. You just basically... fill the theater with your evil.
Oh, thank you.
Was that evil?
No, actually, that's who I really am. I just remain calm when I'm off stage. This is the second time playing the villain. I've been in three melodramas. I've also played the hero. So I've been on both sides of the force. And it looks like I am swaying towards the dark side. And what I love about being the villain... is that I can do things on stage that would be considered totally inappropriate in public, and people pay to see it.
Scott makes a really great villain. Scott does that snidely snide, you know, voice far superior to any of us, and I congratulate him at the end of every rehearsal, because he's the trooper, he's the star, if you will, because the villain does so much in this play.
And what's nice about, or what must be nice, I would imagine, about playing a hero and playing a villain in a melodrama is that they're type characters. They're not real characters with character development and actual personalities. They're like comic book characters, and so you get to completely play up the good and evil.
Indeed. If anyone has ever seen the cartoon Dudley Do-Right that was really popular in the 60s, I watched it all the time when I was a kid.
That's Anthony.
Dudley Do-Right was a melodrama. Dudley Do-Right was the hero, Nell was the heroine, and Snidely Whiplash was the villain. And every scene, Nell gets tied to the railroad tracks, Dudley Do-Right comes in and saves her. And that is the essence of melodrama. There is a hero, a villain, a heroine, and sometimes a villain sidekick, and a dastardly plot that gets foiled by the hero in the end. And when one has heard the term, don't be so melodramatic, they're being saying, don't be so over the top with your drama. It's not real. So
right.
That's what essentially is part of melodrama, is just over the top acting. Everything is really, really big.
What makes it fun is that everybody, it's like drinking without drinking, just gets over the top with the way they yell and carouse and really get into it. And the swooning is wild and the cheers are over the top because I haven't done much and all of this stuff. And I think that the greatest part about playing the hero, and something that Andy really taught me, is that he is dumb. He is dumber than a bag of rocks. And
but he's nice.
Oh, he's so sweet. So the sweet part I can align myself with, but to tap into that you are dumb as nails and, you know, there is nothing that's going to change it is hilarious. I die every time I play him. It makes me laugh when I'm doing the lines.
And we die every time we see you act.
What a villainous thing to say.
You can see that the training of us heckling each other was brutal.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
This is nothing compared to what we do in rehearsals.
Now, how long have you been rehearsing?
About 3 days, half an hour,
three and a half.
What was it?
I honestly think we started our first read through about 4 weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken. So this one was really crunched, and it's been astonishing to me how quickly it's come together. And
it's an amazing group. I've been amazed too. I mean, everybody has come together. The Playhouse has really been stepping up recently. You know. There will be articles coming out in the Paso Tiempo, but we've got a much larger season here. We've got a full-time artistic director and managing director and technical director. We're really trying to step up for the community and have more productions per year. But that means that especially as we're getting that whole thing rolling, this particular show had to be kind of the first one to be part of this accelerated schedule. So I've been amazed at how everyone has stepped up, because it's been nothing short of miraculous.
And speaking of stepping up, you may have read in the New Mexican today that Mayor Javier Gonzalez will be doing a cameo.
Tonight.
Tonight. And our very own Marilee Charlotte DeMondi will be doing a cameo the following evening. So if you've ever been curious about what Mary Charlotte actually looks like, come on Saturday night and you will see her live.
I hear she
There's reasons why some of us do radio.
Oh, no.
You have a special outfit picked out, don't you? I think.
I haven't decided whether it's the fishnets or the...
or the...
corset.
Yes, or the fishnets and the corset.
I agree. That's why I got my girlfriend in the play. No, I think that really another thing that's so outstanding about it is that as we perform this play and as it comes together, it becomes so much a reflection of Santa Fe. It becomes such this local treat. You know, Cliff, who is our local 80-year-old third grader who's been doing the play for a long time now.
I love that character, 80-year-old third grader.
Yeah, it's a really fun character. It's poking fun at this whole Susana Martinez third grade education,
right.
Not graduation. And so we've got this 80-year-old third grader, and he's been part of this play for quite a number of years.
16 years, I think.
Oh, wow. And, you know, he turned to me. We have a lot of scenes together because I'm the hero, and I teach him how to read.
Right.
And he looks at me and he goes, "This is when I start having fun." And this was, you know, 2 hours ago. No, this was 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. He goes, "You know, this is when I start having fun, when we know our lines, when we're getting through the scene, and now we're just... It feels like ad-libbing, even though we're sticking to the script. With the audience participation, we get to yell at the audience, too. It's just as much fun for the actors, and it's really an exciting trip."
And it does evolve through the entire run. It's not like huge changes happening, but ad-libs get thrown in, little sight gags get thrown in. It's not the same show 3 weeks after it opens, and that's what also is the beauty of it, because we can really have fun with it. And
we have these late night shows, which are also very different.
Indeed.
That's
yes.
Right. Yeah. The show is on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights at 7:30, Sunday matinee at 4:00. But then there's also a few late night shows, August 30th and September 5th and 6th, that start at 10.
Indeed.
Yeah, seriously, kids,
sign up. I'm staying up past my bedtime for that. I'm just letting you know.
Sign up for
this. Villains have bedtime?
Late nights.
We have to get our rest to be evil in the morning.
Because there's so much fun. You know, there's a few lines that 80-year-old third grader doesn't feel safe saying in the, you know, children-friendly audience. And,
exactly.
And that we get away with in the later audiences. But also what's so fascinating and interesting about the earlier shows is that it's all about the double entendre. It's all about it's Sesame Street, and the adults are getting it on one level and the kids are getting it on another level.
Right.
And that's what makes it fun to perform because we can say things that we know are a little bit risque, a little bit dirty, but nobody's going to take real offense to it. It's very sweet and melodramatic. Oh, Nell.
Yeah, right. And kids these days just don't get anything like that.
Yes.
Yes, they start becoming exposed to it the day they turn 18. Yes.
Well, I think that what's really great, sorry to...
Or the day they see the melodrama.
Indeed, indeed. Now, then the loss of innocence happens that day.
That very day.
Right. They won't be plaza rats. They'll be mellow rats. But I think that one of the really exciting things is this year's theme seems to be education. And as opposed to other years, we always have this theme. And this year's is education. We've got the hero, me, as this teacher. We've got the 80-year-old third grader who I'm trying to teach. We've got a lot of references to Susana Martinez and their education stuff. So I'm really glad that we've stuck to this, especially since, you know, the majority of people in the cast are in education, which is so funny.
All three of us right now.
Teachers and your school principal, Anthony.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Now, you also have some really amazing actors, and one of the things I love about the melodrama is it's such a community production. There are probably people who've never acted before. There are people who are super professional. There's kind of everything in between. And this fellow Malcolm Morgan, who went to the Santa Fe University of Art and Design, I mean, you think you're looking at a Broadway actor. I mean, he's absolutely superb.
Yeah, and he stepped up too. In addition to all his amazing comedic timing and his singing, he stepped up and was our choreographer, which I would never have predicted, but it was beautiful.
And singing coach.
Yeah, he was able to help out, like, getting
and hair
people their parts.
Dude. Oh, yeah.
He's doing makeup. He's bringing pizza. He's
a
real Renaissance guy.
You know, I think that that's a lot of what we're saying, is that Malcolm brings this amazing, as along with Andy, because he's Mr. Director, but, you know, this amazing professionalism as an actor, and he's playing alongside a dentist. You know, he's playing alongside a school teacher or somebody who's not typically in that role, and he's amazing.
Well, and a couple of those people in a play kind of especially a play like this, kind of hold up the rest of the cast make it fun to watch.
Yeah, totally. But it's fun to watch too, you know, somebody who doesn't act a lot.
Yeah.
When they see what can happen, and you watch them step up or grow over the course of a show, or watch them light up when the audience comes in, or, you know, it's really, really gratifying.
And then the fabulous Felix Cordova as the governor.
As our lady governor, yes.
And he's amazing.
He's so funny.
And the first 2 days of rehearsals, and I'm sure you're hearing the people coming and going outside of the play, you know, but the first 2 days of rehearsals just killed it. We were crying with laughter of his portrayal of this governor. I cry with laughter, and him, and I think you bring it up as well, that these players, such as the ones that aren't experienced, in their own way of delivering it, they make me like die. I'm so happy with how they're doing it.
Part of the rehearsal process, especially for amateur actors, must be learning not to laugh uproariously at the play that you're in.
Well put.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think of it, you know, if you're a rock band and you've got pyrotechnics, don't look at your own pyrotechnics. Not cool.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Let it happen, and you're still being a rock star.
I'm walking away from
And you've also got a great set that features the Santa Fe Rail Runner and all kinds of other things.
The set is amazing.
Yeah, I was just going to say that it's actually a revolving set.
Yeah.
The backdrop changes according to a revolving set that has different rooms.
Right.
So whenever the scene changes, it revolves around and we're in a new scene. And that has made it a bit of a challenge to work with, because normally we just have the scene is in any playhouse production, the set is usually fixed through the whole thing. Well, in this case is continually changing.
And in addition to the revolving train set, I think everybody's favorite piece that we have taken like a 30
this might be a surprise.
Second pause for is the amazing surprise that you've got to come see.
Thank you.
The set piece that really makes it is one that my director is super proud of.
Yeah, that he just basically threatened you.
No.
Nobody can
you
see
can
the knife.
You can say what it is. You can say.
No, yeah, that's
you
right. No.
What
no,
knife?
No.
Knife? There's no knife. What knife?
It's the Santa Fe Fiesta Melodrama that opens tonight, runs through the 7th of September. It's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evening at 7:30. and Sunday matinees at 4 o'clock, and some special extra shows on August 30th and September 5th and 6th that are at 10 at night, and all sorts of good extra cool stuff happening. For more on that, for more on all of this, you can call the Playhouse, the Santa Fe Playhouse, at 988-4262. And you can also go online, santafeplayhouse.org. Andy Prim is the director. Anthony Berzak is the hero. And Scott Shuker is the villain. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Que viva la fiesta.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
We got to get to opening night, guys.
All right, yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
All right.